Zo.
Wat is jullie talk dan? Ik denk dat je zo'n haar hebt. Gelis. Ja, wie? Je hebt het gelis die dan het recht. Wat? I give you a choice. You know, I give you a choice. You know, we can talk about, either you can talk about some, maybe some Basar B'chalav shaylos, because you know it's coming up. It's coming up Shavuos. That's one choice. Or maybe we can talk about. Let's see, what else can we talk about? Maybe we can talk about, you know, all those things that they say b'shem so and so. Is it true? Is it not true? Talk about those shaylos. Which one do you guys want?
Yes.
Which one? Yes. Which one?
Yes.
Which one? Bas Michal. Bas Michal? Okay, we're talking about that. What? Which one?
Second one.
I gave you a choice.
What?
Second one or first one? He said the first one. Are you a Kayan? No. What do you people want? I'm not feeling well. I can't make decisions.
What do you want to talk about?
The second one? Second one?
No, that's not
here. Okay, you know all those things? Alright, let's tape this. This what do you guys want? I don't know what's what do they want?
Second one.
Second one? You can't do both.
What things we could be making?
Right, you know, I make a deal. Today we'll talk about Bas V'chal, and then I'll be a Baal Chayv to talk about that other topic. How's that?
Yes.
Well, I can do it the other way. We can make a Baal Chayv on Bas V'chalav. I don't know.
The other way.
Which other way?
I don't know if I live that way.
Bas V'chalav.
All right, so we'll talk, whatever you want, just decide. Who wants that we should talk about all the things that people say? Hey, you know, he said it's this and this.
Mutter
and
all these myths. We gotta...
You change your mind?
Peer pressure.
Take this. I don't need the Bas V'chalav. So we won't give on that. Okay. So like this. You know all those things they say? All those things they say. This great Gadol, especially once he's not alive anymore. he said such and such is mutter, such and such is usser, such and such you have to do. Right? And then, you know, it's hard to disprove him. And then they tell you, all his talmidim say such things. You know, so what are you going to, should I give you examples of those things? And then we'll see, is it true, is it not true, could it be, could it not be? I'll give you an example. Maybe I'd even have more fun. Afterward, you can give me examples. I did this in one place and they gave me examples and I had a whole shiur from it. I'll give you one example. You know, they say like this. I don't know if you say, if you do know, some of them you're not going to know. Meaning you're not going to know that they say, I'm going to tell you, they say, I'll be the Mesis and Medich. They say, they go around, they say from Reb Moshe. Moshe is such a great man. Such a great man. The one problem is Reb Moshe, it's hard to say things with shame of Moshe. You know why? Because Reb Moshe wrote so much. So you have to know all of Igris Moshe and Dibris Moshe and Moshe's and Moshe in order to know what he didn't say. But usually Reb Moshe wrote things. So if he didn't write it, you're already, it's a little bit nerve-wracking with you if you're saying things. So one of the things they say for Reb Moshe is that Reb Moshe said, you don't wear your tzitzis out. You ever hear this? Who heard this here? Anyone heard this here? You heard it. Okay. Every time I give this shiur, I have at least one guy, he heard at least one. You know, so each one, there's always going to be one guy and he saves the day. Right? So it sounds so strange. Could you bring me, sir, a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph?
Dear Shur Regular.
Dear Shur Regular. Listen to the door we live in. Dear Shur Regular. It's going to come a door. Next door is going to be, you know, a Dear Shur, right? There's not, the regular is not. It's going to be
MP3.
Chip. Listen to Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says like this. Mishnah Berurah says, since you've gotten Chavav, you know, you have to know something. It's not so mistaber that Reb Moshe would argue on, you know, Reb Moshe had a koyach. He was on such a koyach. Reb Moshe had, he was able to argue on Rishonim. Reb Moshe had such a koyach. It's Tzlayim Kisipper. When Reb Moshe was nifter, and they put him into the ground, so Reb Shach was maspid next to the ground, right next to the, in Har Menuchas. It was on Purim. It was on Purim Taka. And Reb Shach said words. Reb Shach said that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us somebody with the brain like Reb Moshe from the Chachma of Reb Moshe from the time of the Marshah. From the time of the Marshah, there hasn't been a Seichel like that. He said, why? Because we needed somebody to be able to bridge the gap between the Mogen Avram. They didn't have hot plates back then. They didn't have microwaves back then. So we needed somebody to bridge the gap to be able to bring us into the world. And Reb Moshe opened up the door for everybody. And that's what Reb Moshe was. But you think that Reb Moshe is going to argue straight on like straight Mishnah Berurah, Mogen Avraham, things that were like, you know, accepted in Klal Yisrael. So let's see. It says like this. Mishnah Berurah says, "Come to Yireyu." So let's see. Mishnah Berurah says, "Simen Ches Yivkatan Chavav." He says, "Ikar Mitzvah Talos Katan." The Ikar Mitzvah of Talos is to wear it. Kadesh Tamid Yira V'Yizkar Mitzvah. You should always wear it. So you should remember the mitzvah. Okay, so for that alone, you could say, no, maybe it doesn't mean, that you should, when you wear it, you'll put it on, so you'll remember the mitzvah when you put it on. It doesn't mean I have to be looking at my tzitzis that I can remember them, right? But the Mishabura, he means no words. It's like the Mishabura, Kimaitisim, Urisim, Oisai, Uzchartem. You'll see. It's like the Mishabura, Oisam Anoshim, those people. Asher Hamasimim tzitzis b'mechnasayim shalahem, that they put their tzitzis in their pants. Not only are they from the pasuk, oid mevazin is a mitzvah. He puts it dorten by the gatkes. Versteht? That is why your tzitzis all the way over. You're being mevazin Hashem Yisbarach. V'asid hein litin es adin. They're going to give a din v'cheshbin. But they say we go amongst the goyim. So he says if that would be the case, then it would be enough to leave out a little bit. Shmuel goes on. He says meridik. He says if they would have. Let's say you have, like, some people, they have these farm animals on their shirts. You know what I'm talking about? These, like, scary-looking creatures. Some people have, like peacocks and ducks and what? Crocodile, like, all these scary creatures and ducks. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right?
Moose.
So they have moose? Moose on a shirt. What are you talking? So they have all these scary creatures and ducks. Can you imagine? So he says, you imagine, I walk around, why do I wear this red and white flag on my shirt? Because I want to say, I'm Shaykhus to the Fagel Adon. That's what I want to show. Yes, I'm Shaykhus. Me and him. That's what I want to show, right? It's like the Mishabura, look. So, if you would have a Doirin from a Melch Basav Adon, Shechakik Alav. If you would have this moose, I'm connected to a moose. Right? I have the same meat as a crocodile. So you show, that's why I wear this thing. So that you would zikr wear it with pride. And Gaiva, look, I'm with him. Right? So the Mishabura, Kal V'chaymer. It's a Kal V'chaymer, the Mishabura. Kal V'chaymer Batzitzis. Shemram is, when you wear the tzitzis, say, oh, I'm with him. I'm with the Bairei Oilam. As a Mela Zicha, you would wear it. So first of all, it says in the version of the Mishabura, they got to wear your tzitzis in, they got to wear your tzitzis out, and you have to look at them. So maybe you'll say, yeah, but we know there's something with the Svardim. And the Mekubalim, do I have any Svardim over here? Svardim? No Svardim. So I'll tell you what they say. Right? Oh, Sperling. The Svardim, as you know, hold, a lot of the Svardim, Rav Avadja, Rav Ben Tzina, B'Shoyal, they hold that you don't wear your tzitzis out. They hold you where your tzitzis in. So they, Rabbi Zina B'Shoyal, he writes, what am I going to do with the Arizal? The Arizal says, you got to wear your tzitzis out and it's so good for the Shama and this and that and whatever. So he says, no, the Arizal doesn't say that. All the Arizal says is that you have to look at your tzitzis constantly. That's all the Arizal says. So it's not that Rabbi Zina B'Shoyal, of course, every good Svardi Bach who wears tzitzis in knows that every once in a while, you know, like Rabbi Zina B'Shoyal says, you know, like 5 or 6 times an hour, he takes out his tzitzis, he looks at them, he puts them back. He takes out his tzitzis, he looks at them, he puts them back. You know, so, but I don't know, you know, that's the Svardim. That's the Mikubalim, Abel Maisa, Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. He has, I think, a 23-page shtickle to explain why even Achenu Bnei Svardim certainly have to wear our tzitzis, and Ashkenazim wear our tzitzis. But is he going to say that Rabbi Moshe goes against that? So hard to believe, no? It's hard to believe these things. And of course, now he's no longer alive. So once he's no longer alive, we can say anything. There were 3 Talmidim of Rabbi Moshe that once went in to ask Rabbi Moshe Shaila. Oh, when I get sick, I like to tell stories. But I should be in bed right now, Rabbi Isai. I should be in bed, you should be telling me stories. But there was 3 Talmidim that went into Rabbi Moshe. They found a fellow walking in the Lower East Side, and he found, he went into a store, somebody sent him a shliach to buy something. He sent him a shliach to buy a schnitzel. So he bought now the schnitzel, and the guy behind the counter gave him back, and the schnitzel store is owned by a guy. Okay, and now the schnitzel store is owned by a guy, and the guy gave him back wrong change. He gave him back. Now, who's the schnitzel for? It's for Anshel, the Mishaleach. So now, he had a shaila. What do I do with the money? Do I return the money to him? That's one choice, right? To the guy. One is, I get to keep the money. Right? Or the other is, maybe I have to give back the money to Anshel, the Mishaleach. So he said, look, I'm in the Lower East Side. Why don't I just walk into Ramesha and ask the great guy in Ramesha? So if it's one problem, I don't know Yiddish. I don't know Yiddish. So there were 3 Talmidim that...
English?
Oh, Ramesha? Like, I speak English, yes. Hey, those, you know. So then Ramesha got Yiddish. Ramesha knew everything. He probably knew Spanish and Swahili. But Ramesha, but in the practical, when you talk to Ramesha, you can't come in there. You don't want to look like one of those guys that don't... You know, you come into Ramesha, you go, Chmein, ich hab gefinzich, schnitzel. So he went, there were 3 Talmidim over there for Moshe, like the 3 big Talmidim that nowadays, you know, the Mipiyah Manam Chayim, you know, from them we get all the rain. So they went in there with this Bachar to ask the Shaila. So they walked in, they asked for Moshe the Shaila. Moshe, like a rocket ship, on the spot, where Moshe answered the Shaila. You have to understand Rav Moshe, basically. Please let me Michael me a moment. Rav Shimon Eider once said over that Rav Moshe, Zecharim Levracha, one time a lady came in with an aguna shayla. An aguna shayla, Rabbi said. And so Rav Moshe, when he understood what the shayla was about to be, he was brought in by a few people, and they said, so Rav Shimon Eider was asked to leave the room for a minute. He was, I think, a young person at the time. He was asked to leave the room for a minute, and the Shimon Eider felt a minute. And Aguna Shaila, Kol Tuv, right? So he started to pack up his stuff and to leave, right? And Shimon Eider said, a minute and 37 seconds later, the lady walked out. And she had passed in the Shaila, whatever the Shaila was. Shimon Eider walked back in. He said to Ramayisha, you write a tshuva, the first tshuva in the Rishon Moshe about a yarmulke is 17 pages. Ramayisha writes a tshuva about opening packages, 32 pages. Ramayisha has a tshuva, right? In Aguna Shaila, if her husband is alive or dead, 1 minute and 37 seconds, don't you have to go to the mikveh first? Something. So Moshe said, no, because when I was learning the Yushalmi and Yevamis, this was the case that I was thinking. That was Moshe. Moshe wasn't normal. Moshe wasn't normal. Now, all these stories that they tell you about, that this God will hitaka. No, he was taka. He had a very, very shvacha cup, and no. Ramesha was that. He was beyond. Ramesha was a different madreka. It was a different league. So, anyways, so they all three walked into the Goyim of Ramesha, and Ramesha like a shotgun. Ramesha said the darts. Yeah. Ramesha. You know what Ramesha was? There was once a bacher that came up to Ramesha, and he knocked on the door by Ramesha. He said, "Rebbe Rosh Yeshiva, a Yiddish bacher was just hit by a car on the, what was it called, over the Fort Hamilton, Dachsuch, no? Right by the
FDR.
The FDR. A Yiddish bacher was just hit by a car. So Ramesha told him, no, that's a Beseder. The bacher said, Rosh Yeshiva, I just saw a Yiddish bacher, Ramesha has to daven or something. And the Ramesha said, no, that's a Beseder. Ramesha wouldn't be Messiah with him. The bacher was so distraught. He thought it's the strangest thing. He went back down to see what happened. And he went down, and what does he see? He sees that there's a Puerto Rican fellow lying there in dust, and a ganze meise. Right? So what happened? So he asked, there was a Jewish fellow standing over there. He says, you also saw it. What happened? He says, no, the Puerto Rican kid was running after the Jewish kid. And when they got hit, so the yarmulke flew off. He was running in the streets. So it looked like the Jewish kid had gotten hit. So he went back up to Rav Moshe, and he said to him, Vos, Ruch HaKodesh? Ruch HaKodesh? Ruch HaKodesh? So Rav Moshe said, V'zich zitzen dan en du, ze kan zayn atasach. When I'm sitting and learning over here, it's not shaykh such a thing. Ramesha. Ah, the kambi sirl kemesha. That's not Ramesha. It wasn't normal. Don't think for a second, Rabbi Yisai. Ramesha. So anyways, a story within a story. Which story were we up to? So the three guys walk into Rav Moshe, and they ask him the question. And there they are, the three. So Rav Moshe on the spot, he told them the answer. No? So they walk outside, and so he says to them, well, what is the answer? What was the answer? I guess he didn't just say your nish, right? So he said, what was the answer? So one of them said, Rav Moshe said you have to give back the money to Anshul, to the Mishalech. The other one said, no. Rav Moshe said you have to give the money back to the guy. The other one said, no. Rav Moshe said, no, you get to keep the money. So at the time, sounds like this. All three of them, when they walked in, they knew the answer. They heard the Shiloh from the Bacher already, and they knew the answer already. You know, the answer is, okay, the answer, Rav Moshe is not going to make a mistake. It's when you go in with an Egiyah. Right? So Ramesh is not going to make a mistake. When you walk in there, how do we know that Ramesh is going to get the right answer? So that's why you can have this, that Ramesh, you heard maybe something for Ramesh, and maybe he never said it. But when you hear things like this, Ramesh, he's going to argue straight on his Amish Nebura and his Apaiskim, and this. So not Mistaber. So let's see what really happened over here. Ramesh, the great Goyin, has a Chuvin, Aleph, Gimel. Ramesh has lots of Chuvins about Tzitzis over there. He's at, in all the beginning, Chalokim. Aleph, Gimel, Aftalad, Beis, Gimel, Beis, Aleph, all in the beginning, Chalokim, Rav Moshe talks about Tzitzis. Rav Moshe has his Shita, that Bethany is supposed to really wear wool Tzitzis. Rav Moshe says, unless it's really hot. If it's really hot, so Rav Moshe says, no, then if you're a Baal Nefesh, you wear wool Tzitzis, but really you should wear wool Tzitzis. Remember, Rav Moshe's got a Shita when it comes to Tzitzis. Rav Moshe holds that it could be Medina, you have to wear Tzitzis nowadays. It's not just a Minig Yisrael, you have to wear Tzitzis because the Gans Klal Yisrael accepted. I'm trying to get Rav Moshe has this Chidusha when it comes to Tzitzis. But Ramesh, when he writes like this, Ramesh writes that he says, that he brings down Shitas Rishayinim. Some Rishayinim hold. Oh, thank you, Ohana. Where'd he go? He disappeared. Where'd he go? Ah, there he is. So Ramesh says like this, in Al Gimel, he says, there are some Rishayinim that hold that when you have Tzitzis, there's a mitzvah to raisa to look at them. Because it says it Rishayinim. It says Arisim. The mitzvah d'oraisa. Now, I must preface one thing. I once asked one of these talmidim of Rav Moshe that walks around saying that Rav Moshe says you don't have to wear your tzitzis out and you wear them in. So I said to him, I was like, are you talking? Are you shy? How can you say such a thing? So he said, Rav Moshe held you can't make up a mitzvah. We're not the Nishkin Uncle Moshe man, you know, we make up mitzvahs and stuff. You can't make up a mitzvah. We make up a mitzvah. The pasuk says, Risa Masa. What's a Risa Masa talking about? So the Gemara dashins, a Risa Masa, it has to be a beged that you see during the day. A beged of the yoim. So Risa Masa is a drasha. So that means that the pasuk explicitly is talking a Risa Masa. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to look at your tzitzis. It means a type of beged. So you can't go and say there's a new mitzvah. That's what he said. So the Mela, you know, it can't be such a thing. Okay, sounds good, right? So I'll tell you what Ramesh says. Ramesh, Aleph Gimel, he brings down Rishayim, tons of Rishayim that hold that there's a mitzvah derisa to look at tzitzis. He brings down a smack, and it does. There's a mitzvah to actually look at tzitzis. Then Ramesh goes on, he says, but the Rambam holds not like that. Listen to what Ramesh writes. It should sound familiar. He says, Ramesh, the Rambam must have held that there's no mitzvah derisa to look at tzitzis. Minat Torah, there's no mitzvah to look at tzitzis. Why? Because held the Rambam that the tepasik is already used to teach me a beged yoim, that you need to only wear tzitzis on a beged yoim and on a beged laila. So therefore, that's why the Rambam held that there's not a mitzvah to raisa to look at tzitzis. So ask Rav Moshe Kasha. Rav Moshe, what? But what are you going to do with the pasik and the Gemara? The Gemara says that re'iyah mevi l'idei schira, that when you look at the tittis, it brings you l'idei schira. So Rav Moshe says, look, oh, go look in the rivash that the Beis Yosef brings down in Siman Chof Dalet. Just look over there, and that's what you have to do. Whatever the rivash says, that's the answer. You know what the rivash says? Rivash says like this. Rivash says, there's no mitzvah to be looking at your tittis. You don't get a mitzvah d'oraisa. Rav Moshe brings sheet to say, yeah, but he says there's no mitzvah. But Dr. Rivash, there's no mitzvah, but the maisa, of course, that's the reason of the pasuk. That's the time of the krah. But the time of the krah doesn't make a mitzvah. So to be vash, so vadi, you should look at the tzitzis. Because that's the reason the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it tzitzis. He gave us tzitzis to wear so that we remember the mitzvahs. But you don't get a mitzvah for looking. You don't get a mitzvah. So what does it say in the Rivash? No, that's how now I read you what it says in the Rivash. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Chof Dalet, he says mefirish, just like you just heard, he says, in ein adam leivish tzitzis, you don't get an avera, ain't why? What are you doing all day long? Because if you're wearing tzitzis all day long, and then you have them, you'll remember the mitzvahs every moment of the day. So the Mishabura, now going back, now you read these two Mishaburas again, that's what he's saying. Because when you look at your tzitzis, you'll have a chance all day long to remember the mitzvahs. So what does it say in the great Goyim of Moshe? So Moshe says, Mefirish, that a vadi is supposed to wear tzitzis out and look at them. No shayla. Or what Moshe's saying is that maybe you don't get a mitzvah when you look. So Mestama, this is what went on. One Talmud went to Rav Moshe and said, is there a mitzvah deraisa to look at tzitzis? So Rav Moshe said, no mitzvah deraisa. No mitzvah deraisa. Right? No. So I went to a different Talmud of Rav Moshe, who asked me for years now, he heard 2 years ago that I said this year, and I said over his name, he said, please don't say over my name, because then the other Talmud of Rav Moshe comes to me, and he yells at me, and da-da-da. Right? I asked his Talmud, I don't say his name anymore, but Rav Moshe's other Talmud, I asked him, Rav Moshe held down, he said, no, I want to tell you how I know, because I wear my tzitzis out. This is a big Talmud of Rav Moshe, right, who lives in New York, I can't say his name right now, but I'll go find him. In tri-state area somewhere, right? And I'll give you initials soon, but Al-Kopanim, maybe I'll spell his name backwards, and you know. But Al-Kopanim, he said to me that I wear my tzitzis out, and I used to not wear my tzitzis out. Because they say from Rav Moshe, not to wear tzitzis. So finally I went to Rav Moshe, I learned the Mishnah Berurah, and I said, should I wear my tzitzis out? And he said, of course you wear your tzitzis out. What are you talking about? So he says, they say you said not to wear your tzitzis out. So Rav Moshe said, what are they going to say next? What are they going to say next? That you can turn the light on Shabbos? You love that, Rabbi Yisrael. So he wears his tzitzis out. So what's the answer? The answer is very simple. Is there an inyan to wear your tzitzis out? Yes. If you're amongst dangerous people, dangerous creatures, and if you wear your tzitzis out, so then you're going to get beat up. Mustama, maybe you shouldn't wear your tzitzis out. Me, they don't know I'm a Jew. When I'm with dangerous people, of course, putting the tzitzis, they don't know me. I'm like you fellows, don't worry. But Akuban, that's one shmua that never happened. Can I tell you another one?
Is there an Indian not to keep the knots out?
They say this like the Berhetiv over here talks about Gaiva. I must admit, I don't understand it. Right? Whoever doesn't understand it, Mustam, it's not Gaiva. You big Bal Gaiva. You with your knots out, you. You. Oh, Bal Gaiva, you. I don't know. It's Apikabala also. They do say it. About Kapanim Ikra, then it's not something you have to
chesh. You only say if you make it yourself.
What?
If you made this your
I can tell you guys like this. The day I know Kabbalah, right? Or that's the day I stop hanging out with you guys.
You admit no.
Don't need you people anymore. Then I have my friends in the cave. Right? So don't ask me Kabbalah shites, okay? Bring me that. Let's go one by one through Chelkei Mishnebrura of things that people never said. Come. Chelik Beis. What's the most famous thing? Dear Shu. What's the most famous thing ever said to shame someone that he never said? Huh? Let's go.
Washing on pizza.
No, that's a machlekes.
It's mutter to shave.
Huh? That's a machlekes. You need to get a name of somebody that said it's mutter. Nobody ever said Mizayin is bread. I only need Chelik Beis. What are you doing to me?
Figured you want to.
Well, I tell you the most famous thing. They all say that the Chafetz Chaim was chayzer. When you hear those words, this sefer was written with blood of the Heilige Chafetz Chaim. Every drop of ink in this sefer is worth all of your oilamos. The Chafetz Chaim wrote this sefer. Who was maspid the Heilige Chafetz Chaim? Who gave a hespid to the Heilige Chafetz Chaim? The owner of the barn. He gave a hespid to the Heilige Chafetz Chaim. Owner of the barn? Who was he? Yeah, he was. I think his name was Slavi the guy. Slavi the guy gave a hesped to the Chafetz Chaim. He was crying away at the Levi of the Chafetz Chaim. So he asked this guy, why are you crying? So the guy said like this. He says, your Rebbe was a saintly man. He used to come every night for years and years. He used to sit behind my barn and he would cry and cry and cry. I used to ask him, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Every night, and he wouldn't tell me. And one night I told him, if you don't tell me, then I'm not letting you sit by my barn anymore. So I told him he's writing a sefer. He's writing a book where he's writing all of the knowledge and halachas that a yid needs to know. And he davens every night for siyata d'shmaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should write through him. He was the pen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the pen. So I want to tell you a story about the place. You ever heard of the place? The Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, I think it was in, where's Hilchus Takvakai? Kuf Lamed Vav. So hot. In Kuf Lamed Vav. Over there, the place he has a shtickle. It's like one of these two-page, you know, the place he was obviously very worried about shortage of wood in the world, and he writes with terribly small letters, and he writes pages and pages and pages to answer up a Rambam and talk to Koyim. You see that after you get through this, you don't usually get through this, but after you get through this, Gantish shtickle with pilpul and back and forth and this, you know, your head is falling out, and you have one kasha. I mean, it's a Gantish shtickle in the Rambam, and the Rambam said one word. You think the Rambam meant this? That's the one kasha you have after reading two straight pages of this place. You know who asked the kasha? The placey. The Rabbi Rabbi Yonis. He's going to say, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that I'm answering up a Rambam and I'm saying a hin and a hair and a dot and it's like Antidrei and it's all one word in the Rambam and this and that. Maybe the Rambam didn't mean this. Listen to what the placey says and remember this rest of your life. So the placey, I don't care. That's what he writes. He writes, I don't care because the Rambam was the pen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when he was writing this, hey, look at Placey. When he was writing this, whether he knew it or he didn't, but this was the Kavana, Oime Kavana of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wrote it through the Rambam. So, I don't know, the Rambam, La Halacha L'Maisa, sometimes we don't pass it like the Rambam, but the Halacha K'mishnebrua B'kol Makoyim. So whatever he writes, that's the Halacha. So when you hear things like the Mishnebrua is Chayzer, you gotta get nervous. You gotta get nervous. Mishabru was chayzer. That's very strange. Mishabru, everyone knows, he went around in his little wagon and he went from town to town because he heard that in one town there was a sefer that had the Mishabru that had an ois that was spelled wrong. And Mishabru, the sefer went out like a napa menupa. It went through 10 napas. It went through 10 sifters before it went down to the print. So, what's the case that everyone says the Mishabru was chayzer? Mishabru holds that when it comes to kompot in a meal, kompot. You know what kompot is? No, they told me you're all Ashkenazim today. It's cooked fruit, kompot. Yeah? You have kompot in a meal. You have to make a bracha on kompot in a meal. So the ganze welt, no? Rabbi Shaiker, you never heard this when you were this big and that big, right? So kompot, everyone says Mishabru is chayzer. Even though in Sefer Mishabru he says that you have to make a bracha on kompot in the meal, but the Mishabru is chayzer. And he changed his mind, and now he says you don't have to make a bracha on kompot in the middle of the meal. Everybody heard this? Never heard, who heard? I need that one guy. Then we can go, where is it? Mishabura? Beginning of meal, man, the Mishabura makes the differentiation. So they say Mishabura was Chayzer, and he said, nowadays, so. I'm just telling you what they say. But they say, everybody says it, you know? Allah's talking, I say, Allah's for a different religion across the street.
She was spoken about Allah's mind.
So maybe we should go to the next topic. Okay, let's go back. Next thing I wanted to talk about was a little bit less controversial. I think your mother's on the phone.
He wasn't Chayzer.
Let's prove now that he wasn't Chayzer. Okay. Mishabura is Chayzer. I'm going to prove to you before we even start over here that Mishabura wasn't Chayzer. You ready for him? The Mishabura, in 20 simanim beforehand, the Mishabura was Chayzer. Mishabura is Chayzer. And in every Sefer Mishabura in this planet that you can get, that you can buy nowadays, there were old ones that you couldn't buy nowadays that they left out this agol. But in every Sefer Mishabura, Mishabura, in Kuf Nun Ches, he was Chayzer. He was Chayzer. Over here in Kuf Nun Ches, here you go. Look over there. You see a little star over there? He writes, Azay. He writes, what happened? Over here is talking about washing your hands. The tilas yadayim. For what? For fruit. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Not for fruit. You have a wet fruit. You know, there's a whole shayla. We don't know why, but on karpas, we have to wash our hands beforehand. So everyone knows there's something about tibula b'mashke. Again, it's a story, right? And nowadays, Mishabura says people don't do it. Mishabura says you should wash beforehand. You don't make a bracha. I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. It's called washing your hands. It's time for a dove that you dip inside one of the yad shakadam. Yayin, dam, schnitzel, but all the things, the yad shakadam, all the things that you wash, but everyone knows if you dip something inside, you have to wash it till you die. So Mishabura over here says a chiddush. Tell the Mishabura, if you're having less than a kezayis, so then you don't have to wash. That's a chiddush. So let's say you have a little piece of an apple that you washed off because it was dirty, whatever. A little piece of an apple, it's less than a kezayis. So the Mishabura, you don't have to wash netilas yadayim. He says, and not only that, mikomaka mepakas mikezayis, nearly posh it. Posh it. I think it's posh it. Shein lachmir b'zeh klal, you don't have to wash netilas yadayim because even by bread, there are those that are mekel. The end. I should be in a bed right now. So Mishabura says, like this, in a star, nom, a star on the bottom. Me'atur loy mash mekein. From the Torah is not mash like this. Ayin sham, zakh the Mishabura. The Torah doesn't say like this. Ayin sham. Ubatla daiti mipnei daitai harechava. And I am done. If the Torah says not like me, I change my mind. Chayzer. We can do that in a few places. I'm only bringing this one because it's so nearby. It's right around the corner over here on the Belt Parkway. Mama's right there. So the Mishabura. Now let's go back and cook. So you think the Mishabura is Chayzer? So hard. So they say, call me these stories. They say, yeah. The major shmua that the Velt says is, why was Mishabura Chayzer? Because now that this is the major one. Let's see if you know what's the major reason they say. Oh, God bless you. I'm gonna have to give him money for that. Because he just said, they say, Mishabura saw that nowadays dessert comes at every meal. So since dessert comes at every meal, you also smile. Yeah, I keep going. Get story. I have more stories than you. I need to tell my children. Akapanim. Tell the Mishabura's Chayzer. No shot. Now I'm going to read you a Mishabura. The Mitzvah has changed. So that's not even a kasha. If the Mitzvah has changed, what do you want from the Mishabura? The Mishabura, should have wrote it in. Should have wrote it in like he wrote in 20 Simanim earlier. Okay, so maybe you'll say he was earlier, he was older. So I'll just tell you an interesting story. This Haggah, somebody once brought me when I was in England, actually. A Svarim collector brought me a copy of a Mishabura from 1928. And a copy from a Mishabura from 1931. Okay? The copy from the Mishabura in 1928 did not have in it the Haggah. It didn't have in the Haggah that the Mishabura is Chayzer. Now, I don't know what happened, but in the 1931 one, he was Chayzer. Now, L'dayti Mistama, what happened? I can't promise this. Mistama, what happened was in those 3 years is when he came out with this Haggah. Right? That, when was 1931? 1931 was 2 years before he was Nifter. Right? In the last year before he was Nifter, everyone knows the Mishabura didn't write anything. That was to do it. Didn't write. He gave brachas, he gave eitzes, and the Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah was like Yirmiyahu HaNavi in those days. Everybody knows. But the actual writing, he wasn't writing anymore. So that means that this was basically the last Chazar and Haggah that was ever in the time of Mishabura. We knew that if he could have been Magia, he would have been Magia. So this thing, unless it happened in 1932, I don't know. It's hard to believe that the Mishabura, the whole story, the Chazar, the Mishabura came when he started realizing that everybody has dessert in 1932. Just pushing it. It could be, you know. It could be, but that would be the only answer. But let's see if the Mishabura, which then with this, I'm going to read you now a sefer. I'm not going to tell you what the name of the sefer is, though. Mishabura says like this, okay? And the sefer, he writes like this. This is a certain sefer. Shapiro writes, V'af b'mekoymes, this is after he writes on top, V'mein ha'chafetz lechol pasam, huh? Even if they were there, even in the middle of the meal, even if they're cooked, gam ina pas poiter, and you have to make a bracha in the middle of the meal on kompot. Listen to a certain sefer. On the bottom, there's another sefer called Charetzion. He writes, even in places shenagu lechol peiris mevushalim, even in places that eat fruit, bekol suda, in every single meal, zaktim shabura, gamkein mistaber lechayra, still mistaber lechashiv kitvar ma'bayim machmas asuda, still it doesn't get pattered with the bread. So now I'm going to tell you the secret. You know who wrote the sefer Charetzion? Zechariah. In the front over here, it says, he says, Gam tachas ha-mishtabura, patachti shar rochav. I wrote a sefer in prochim v'tzitzim, with flowers and tzitzim. Tzitzim means like buds. I don't know, not Budweiser. It's like bud, everyone knows that, bud. Ushmoin noe. And it has a nice name. Shar ha-tzioin. Shar ha-tzioin. It's really the name Shar ha-tzioin. He wrote the sefer Shar ha-tzioin. And in the Sefer Shartzin, he writes that he knew the Metzias, that there are places in the world that have fruit at every single meal. And Afal Pikein, he says, he still don't get pattered. So what are you going to say? So Mishabura, he found out. When did he find it out? In between writing the Shartzin, after he wrote the Shartzin, when did he find it out? No games. No. So that's Chelik Beis. No, things that people say, people said, that they never said. What next?
Where you at now?
What?
OUD.
Moshe said you could check.
What?
Any fruit during
that, that's not an unfairness. The concept with OUD, it doesn't fit into this shiur so much. I'll just tell you one thing. The Velt says, that Moshe says, no problem, l'chadchila you can have OUD. That's what that says. No problem, l'chadchila, Moshe said, l'chadchila, no problem, you can have OUD. The problem is, but you're not fair, because I told you, this is like a little, this one's not fair, because, you know, if you want to say that something is a sheker v'chazov, and you want to disprove the person from one place, no, right? You want to disprove him from two places, no. You want to disprove him from seven places, so it's like, the whole thing is batel mevutel lehavik after the ara, right? Ramesha writes in almost seven different places, he's mekel on chalav stam. I'm not saying he's not. Right? Okay, nowadays I have a shtickle Torah that even made Ramesha agree, but I agree, that's a shtickle Torah, which I can't say for now. But the Ramesha, Lemaisa, in all of those tshuvas writes that a person, the roi hanhaga, is to not be saimich on chalav stam and to not eat OUD. That's the roi hanhaga, Ramesha writes. He writes, akide kach, you shouldn't even be mater neder. Let's say you're a person that was eating also only without OUD, and now you want to go. You find out these Hershey people with the Carvel monsters, right? Oh, Carvel. You know, I want to tell you a story. Should I tell you a story about Chucky Cows? I just took a good mood now. I never tell stories about myself. Right? But when I came back from Eretz Yisrael, so the first time, the first year, so, you know, I was a little bit, you know, a little bit different than when I left. And my parents were hearing over the course of the year that, you know, Shragi's getting, you know, oh, he's becoming more firm and more firmer and firmer and firmer. Right? So when I came off the plane, right, so I had a roommate who was a Yerushalmi. Right? So he had one of those, you know, those silver Yishmachet, right? And it was right after 3 weeks, because it was, you know, the ninth, so it was right after Tisha B'Av. So I hadn't shaved, and I had like a scraggly, I didn't have one of these Geschmacka Shraggy Kalas beards now, you know, those, you could hide schnitzel in here, you know. I had like scraggly and scraggly. So I came off the plane, and on the plane, they thought for sure he has a bomb. I changed into this, and I wore those pancake ones. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that the, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about, right? And in those days, there were no cell phones, you can make fancy people. It wasn't fancy people. One guy had a cell phone, he had like an attaché case. You know what I'm talking about? It was like, you know, it had like a wire sticking out of it. Nobody had a cell phone in those days. You called your parents once a month and whatever. So, like, you know, when I called, I would say maybe like a shtickle Tyra, a dry Tyra, and they're like, ah, it's from a guy a bit more, you know. So, the kids are, now, you know, when I came off the plane, so I was wearing with the pancake. You know, everyone knows I'm talking about the pancake ones, the smaller hats. Frisbees. Not the, what? Frisbee ones. You see them over here by the chevrolet. And I was wearing the dos and the whole thing, right? I came off the plane in JFK, Darton. And I went straight over to Mom and gave her a big hug and a kiss. Ma! She didn't know what hit her. No one else did. If there would have been YouTube then. What's you do? So anyways, so they got the joke and does the dance. Mom said, take it off now. But in the car ride home, so dad said, all right, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts. Let's get a coffee. Let's get a Dunkin' Donuts. So mom says, no, Shaggy's not going to eat that. It's not Chalav Yisrael. Now, you have to understand, but it's not like nowadays. You know, nowadays, like a different world. Everybody knows everything nowadays, right? Back then, you went to Shiva, you learned, and does, and everybody ate Chol Stam. Is there anybody who didn't eat Chol Stam in those days? I don't know, right? The very from, if you lived in Lakewood, right? That was in, you know, nowadays, even Lakewood has people that aren't like, you know, but in those days, it was mamish, like, whoever lived there, those were those, and in Brooklyn, you had very, very from people, maybe lived in Kensington, understand? But like, everyone ate Chol Stam. So I didn't even know from Yechol Stam, Nishol Stam. It wasn't like that in those days. You ate Carvel, you ate this. So, mom says, no, he's not going to eat that, it's not Chol Yisrael. So now I'm hearing this for the what's Chol Yisrael? My parents don't eat kosher. What was going on here? My father's from Guy. Where's the Adam Shabbos? I mean, what's going on? What is this? Right? But what am I gonna so dad goes, you don't eat Chol Stam anymore? So I go, no, of course not. Obviously that's for the better people, right? Okay. And that was the last time, I guess from the year before, that was the last time I ever ate Chol Yisrael. Because if they think of Ben Torah, Chol Stam, you watch it. If they think of Ben Torah, that's what a Ben Torah is. A Ben Torah is somebody eats Chol Yisrael. When I got mine that night, dad that night came home with a tub of Carvel this big. Right? He wheeled it in. He wheeled it into the house. Right? All of a sudden you hear a truck going, he wheeled it in, and there were three spoons in there. Three of those little Carvel spoons, you remember the old... Does Carvel still exist? Yeah. Do they still have such a thing? Yeah. It doesn't even exist.
No, it does.
Okay. So he comes into the house, and he says, oh, and he has two spoons there. He goes, oh, you don't need one. You don't need... And he took both spoons. Both spoons, mishteis. But what's the pshat? Ramesha writes, Taka, that a Ben Torah, Ramesha says, he doesn't eat Chol Stam. So you can't say Ramesha said, lichatchila no shayla. Ramesha never in his life ate Chol Stam. You can't say that Ramesha held this no problem and he ate it and all the things they say. Ramesha lahayvila, never, how do I know? Because he has seven tshuvas that he says that. He says, Avada, it's mutter, that's a cheetah, right? But you want to know what I do? I do as I... I'll give you another example. Sorry, what's that? Sometimes I have charata when I come in, I'm sick. Maybe I tell you guys too much. But should we tell you one more thing? One more thing. Things that they always say, he said. You can ask the question. No? What does he always say? He says this. Every God says he said that. No? No one? I should do it. Bring me Mr. Baruch Hele Gimel. One second. One second, it's a good one. This is gonna cause such a ruckus though, this one. It's not fair, we keep talking about Ramesha. Let's think of somebody else. Give me 1 second. Who? Who?
Crocs.
What about Crocs?
Since
when you play ball, who said you don't have to? The Velt says.
There's a sweat bag or something
like that. I don't know. When I asked Rapam said years and years ago, he said, when do you need more of a Shmira? What are you talking about? When do you need more? You know, there's an Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra writes like this on the Pasuk in Shlach. He writes that if it was up to me, listen to Ibn Ezra. He says it was up to me, so then when you would daven, you wouldn't wear talis and tefillin. You need talis and tefillin when you're hanging out over here in the Beis Medrash. He said, when would you put on talis and tefillin? When you would go to work. Ibn Ezra. That's when you need Risa Moisoi Schartim Mekola Mitzvahs, right? So I never yet knew, Adi Yomazeh, what did Rapa mean? He meant, do you need a shmira from all those dreadful midos? When do you need the shmira? From all those dreadful midos that come out on the court? You know, that midos. Or, Pashini meant maybe shmira, you're going to get hurt? I don't know what he meant, but I think both are true. Boss?
Isn't it Bezayim?
Come again?
Tzitzis all brown.
What did they used to do in the olden days? In the olden days, what was the tzitzis? It was the actual clothing. They didn't have fancy undershirt people like you. In the old days, I remember this. You don't remember the togas? You don't remember? You remember. You know what I'm talking about. The older generation of it. You don't remember? Yeah, like you're a bar mitzvah. You don't know what I'm talking about, right? The toga, yeah. That was the bacon. That was the actual clothing. That was the clothing. The clothing was attached to their body. So what do you mean? And you don't think they played basketball in those days? Of course they did. So he played in his toga.
Stickball, no?
Stickball? I tell you one last story. One last story. But this is a story just reminded me of. It has nothing to do with anything we talked about, but you reminded me today. That Mida, when you get onto the basketball court, you know, when they came to America, Shaka Five Mendelovich, he comes into America, he walks into a base medrash, and he's all of a sudden he sees them and the bachurim are learning, like, you know, not so much screaming. And then he goes up to his chavrusa, he was learning, I think, with Shamanovich, Shai Shamanovich, Tarvadas. And they were there, and he started screaming at him, you're shaking. All the bachurim are looking at him. He's screaming away, he's shaking, the guy's crazy. He's screaming away. So the other Meshiva looks at him and says, no, in America, I'm learning this. I'm learning this. A new way of learning. A new way of learning. Okay, I get used to it. One day he's walking in the street and he hears all of a sudden, you know, Yiddish is screaming, right? Meshaganite, it's a base medrash. You know, he hears some, you are Meshaganite. And he comes up, what is it? He sees them all of a sudden they're playing stickball. And vice versa, they got into a fight and they're screaming back and forth. He says, das brennt sich ja und das brennt sich nicht. It's not the pshat that the midas are different. It's that this hurts, this burns them, and this doesn't burn them. So over here in the base medrash, that doesn't burn them. Over there, that's what burns them. You know what that midas is called? That midas is called the midas hanitzachin. I was just learning yesterday, Yirmiyo and Perek Chavches. You know, you think Yirmiyo is just a lot of like, there's going to be a Chorban, and that's the one Navi we're not going to read. Right? You know, in Perek Chavches, it's the most interesting Perek. Over there, it talks about a fellow named Hananya ben Azur HaNavi. He was a Navi Hashem. Hananya ben Azur. And it says over there that Hananya, he comes over to Yirmiyo. Yirmiyo is wearing a yolk at this point to show that the Ibn Shalom is going to bring, already, but Nebuchadnezzar already came. And at this point, he's already to the extent that he already took down Yechoniyo, who was 11 years before the Korban. And now, he was wearing a yolk saying it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and that's what you do tshuva. Comes along Hananya ben Azur, Navi, it calls him a Navi, no games. He was a Navi. And it says over there that he comes and he says, Hashem is going to break the oil. So Yirmiyo says, Amen, halavai. Lashon of the Navi. Amen, kein yiratzen. Halavai. He says, but it's not true. It's not true. And Hashem didn't really send you. And if it's true, we'll see. Because the Navi that says, Toiv will come. He goes on, he comes over to Yirmiyo and he breaks the yoke. Knocks him down. Cha-cha. Hey, knocks him down. So now Yirmiyo says, okay, you messed with the wrong guy. Yirmiyo says, you're going to die by the end of the year. The end of the parak. The last pasuk in the parak says, you know what happens to Hananya ben Azur? Vayomas Hananya ben Azur Vashana in that year in the seventh month. Fact Rashi, he's quoting Yerushalmi. Fact Rashi, what? It's the seventh month is Tishrei. If the seventh month is Tishrei, that means when did he die? He died after the year. So he didn't die in the year. So Rashi, Hananya ben Azur on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he was on his deathbed. And he started feeling very weak. And he told all his children, come around, gather around me, children. I'm going to die. Don't be mefarsin my death until after Rosh Hashanah, that everyone's will visit and they should all know Yirmiyo is a shakrin. Everyone should know Yirmiyo is a shakrin. So the pasuk says, no, he really died that year. He died that year, but they didn't find out the next day. Ad kan de Navi. Who was Hananya ben Azur? The Torah calls him a Navi. Rabbi Yisai, if you ever saw a Gadol B'Yisrael, you ever saw a Chaim Kanievsky? You ever saw a Chaim Kanievsky? Just to go into his presence for a moment, you see Ribbono Shel Olam, no? You lose the ability to talk Lashon Hara for at least 3 weeks when you see such a person, no? Imagine what it would have been like to see the Eidka Chavetz Chaim, what it would have been like to see by the Goyin. Mistamaf, we'd see the Chassam Sefer, we'd die on the spot from the Kedusha, no? Then you go back and you go back and you go back and you go back to a Navi that was called the Navi in the time of Yirmiyo, a Navi. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin at that Beit says he wasn't Stam a Navi. He was Bitzar Gadol, that there was a Churban and he was wanting and waiting and waiting, and Yirmiyo received the Nevuah. What was the Nevuah? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to break Elam. Elam was the one that helped. It was a country that helped Bavel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to break them because they helped Bavel. So he made a Kal V'Chaimer, and he's waiting and waiting. Yirmiyo, make the Kal V'Chaimer. If Elam is going to be destroyed, Kal V'Chaimer, Bavel is going to be destroyed. Make the Kal V'Chaimer. Kal V'Chaimer is the Midah Matayim, no games. And he's waiting and waiting. Yirmiyo doesn't make the Kal V'Chaimer. So he gets up and he says, Kal V'Chaimer. Kal V'Chaimer is going to destroy Bavel. So Yirmiyo says, Amen, ken yiratzen halavai, but lemaisa, you didn't receive the Nevuah, so therefore you're not allowed to say it. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, if you get a Nevuah, then you're allowed to say it. If you don't get a Nevuah, even if it's Emes, So he was a Navi that said Emes. He said Emes. And after he came, he said something below Gishay Makarish Baruch Hu, such a madrigan, and he only said it because of the Tsar of the Chorban, and he wanted Yirmiyahu to say it. And because of that, that he lied, so he had to die within the year. You imagine this is Yid, he was a Eidik Yid, we have no Asaga. And on Erev Hashanah, he had gone to Tanisim and Tzigufim, the entire Elul, and the Elul's man of a Navi Hashem. And on Erev Hashanah, he's fasting, he's in fast. It's Erev Hashanah, it's time, and all of a sudden he's feeling weak, and he comes around to tell his children the time for the Tzavah. It's time to give them the Tzavah, which will take them for Doiris. This is the moment that this tzaddik, this Eilik Yid, is going to go over the tzavah that he's going to give to his children. So what does he tell them? He says, children, gather around, listen to me. And what is the message he leaves them with all of eternity? He tells them, they should never know I'm wrong. They should never know I'm wrong. He should be the shakran. Don't let them know. But pretend that I'll die. He's about to go to the Din V'cheshvin, the Rivani Shaloi, the Mamish, not just the Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah he's about to go to. And they can't know. They can't know, and he's willing to go to his deathbed. And that was the message he left to his children. His grandson went on to torture Yirmiyahu. It was the legacy of the Mishpacha. It was the legacy of the Mishpacha. That's what it is. That's that Midas HaNitzachin. This, gotta be right. I gotta win. Sometimes in this sugi that we spoke about today, you have that too. Once a person hears something, you can show him all the rais in the world. You show him the right. But if he has that midah, he won't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear it, no matter what, because I gotta be right. Nachon? Shabbos kinderach. Thank you. Thank you for being the Vaker Choylem. Okay. Not well. It's not really a fair question because it's like so all over Shas, but in your day,
No, I mean like
in your day,